First scripture lesson is found in the book of Exodus, chapter 33, verses 12 through 23. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you have said to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight.' Now, if I have found favor in your sight, show me your ways, so that I may know you and find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people," he said. "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said to him, "If your presence will not go, do not carry us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people, unless you go with us? In this way we shall be distinct, I and your people, from every people on the face of the earth." The Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing that you have asked, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." Moses said, "Show me your glory, I pray," and he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you the name the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one shall see me and live." And the Lord continued, "See, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. Our next scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew. And this is a pretty familiar passage. As a matter of fact, it's a passage that gets quoted quite often, or at least portions of it do. And so we're going to take a broader look at it beyond just the oft-quoted portions of it. From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 15 through 22. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And then he said to them, "Whose head is this and whose title?" And they answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." And when they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us, thanks be to God. Taxes. According to the old saying, taxes are one of two things in life that we can be sure of, along with death. Taxes are always with us. Taxes are necessary. Taxes are necessary for us to live in community, for us to live as a nation. They are necessary to provide services for us. But taxes are also controversial. And here we are in our country in an election season, if that's what we want to call it. It seems that we're always in an election season of some sort or the other, that elections never end, that we're always having people campaigning for something. But one of the main things our politicians talk about, especially at state and national levels, are taxes. They're always accusing each other of, "You're going to raise taxes. You're going to cut taxes." They're promising to cut taxes, accusing their opponents of raising taxes. Taxes, taxes, taxes. But taxes are necessary. The real problem with taxes is how the taxes are collected and how they are used. Actually, this whole tax problem within our country goes back to its very beginnings. The Boston Tea Party, for example, was about taxes. It was about the tea being taxed unfairly. It was about the East India Trading Company who was being given favorable conditions by the king. As a matter of fact, they were being given tax breaks. They were not being charged as the taxes that everybody else were. And the East India Trading Company had been given a monopoly on trade in the colonies because of this tax break given by the king. A friend of mine said something on Facebook this week that I want to share with you because I think it just capsulizes this whole situation. He said, "What kills me is that what a great many people failed to learn in school was that the American Revolution was a war against the East India Trading Company, British corporatism under color of an oppressive government." Right at the very heart of the American Revolution is the controversy over taxes. One of the mottos of the revolution was no taxation without representation. I know that one very well, having been a resident of Washington, D.C. for about a dozen years. That was the motto on our car tags. I know what it's like to live in a community that has taxation without representation. Our nation's capital has taxation without representation. It's an ongoing issue. Taxes, taxes, taxes. Even in the Bible, John the Baptist, when he preaches to the people at the River Jordan, the tax collectors come to him and say, "What should we do?" And his advice or his admonishment to the tax collectors is, "Take no more than the prescribed amount. Tax fairly." So here are the Pharisees coming to Jesus. They want to get Jesus in on this controversy. And so they come to him after flattering him with how fair he is and how wise he is. And they say, "Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" Now behind that question is another question. And this is the one the Pharisees are really asking. They are asking, "Who is God? To whom is your ultimate allegiance?" That's what's behind this question about, is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? I want to jump over to that Exodus reading because in another way, this is exactly the same question that Moses has of God in this reading. The question Moses has of God is, "Who are you? Who are you? Tell me your name. Show me your glory. Come out of hiding. This is the least you can do if you expect us to follow you off into the desert. What is your name? Who are you?" And God says, "I will show you my glory, but by my rules." And so this odd story comes to pass of Moses in the wilderness seeing the glory of God from the backside as the glory is passing by and leaving. "Tell me your name, show me your glory." "I'll show you my glory, but not directly. In passing." And in this way, God reminds Moses of who God is. Now, later in the Exodus story, God tells Moses, I am the Lord. I am the Lord your God. You will have no other gods before me. And this becomes the primal creed of the nation of Israel, of the Hebrew people, the Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. The primal creed of the Hebrew people. Well, Jesus seems to be trapped, which is, of course, the Pharisees' objective. So he asked them to show him the coin that's used to pay for the taxes. The coin. Could we have that coin larger, please? The coin. The Roman coin. The scriptures call it a denarius. This is a photograph of an ancient Roman coin. And he says, show me the coin that is used to pay the taxes. And then he asks the question, whose head is this and whose title? And they would have seen a coin very similar to the one that you are seeing on your screen now. And they answered, well, the emperor's, of course. Then he said to them, the famous line, give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. And when they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. Why were they amazed? Well, I would suggest to us this morning that they were amazed because without saying it, Jesus reminds them of their primal creed. This is a creed that the Hebrew says every time they go to the temple. This is a creed that they start the day off with. This is a creed that is a part of their DNA. And in asking them this question, Jesus reminds them, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. And they must acknowledge that it is all gods, including what is the emperor's. My friends, emperors, empires, presidents, senators, representatives, mayors, city council people, elections, nations come and go, but the presence of God is eternal. And this little exchange reminds these Pharisees of that. And that's why they were amazed, and that's why they had to leave and walk away. I couldn't help but think of a poem that illustrates so much of this. It's one that perhaps you, along with me, memorized one time in a high school or a college literature class. It's a poem by Shelley called Ozymandias. Listen to the words of this poem. I met a traveler from an antique land who said, two vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them, on the sand half sunk, a shattered visage lies, whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command tell that its sculptor well those passions read, which yet survive, stamped on these lifeless things, the hand that mocked them and the heart that fed. And on the pedestal these words appear, my name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair. Nothing beside remains. Round the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare, the lone and level sands stretch far away. My friends, as we participate in a very tumultuous, and I would add, very important political time in our country, as we look to the future, we must always remember that time passes. To use the old cliche, this too shall pass. But it is so important what we do here and now, how we live will help determine what the future is. But even that future will one day be beneath an ocean or covered with desert sand. But the presence of God is always with us, now and forever, because God alone is one. Amen.
Your own, O Holy Spirit.
Our charge comes from Psalm 37 that reminds us that God is hidden in retrospect. Moses saw God's hind parts. Moses sees where God has been in order to know that God is here. And that's the way we experience God. And we have to look forward knowing that God is always with us. And Psalm 37 tells us, "Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good so that you will live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord and God will give you the desires of your heart. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land." My friends, go into this day and the days that follow, knowing that whatever we go through, God is with us. Then, now, and forever. Amen.